Yeah, listen, I suppose, you know, once the news broke on Thursday afternoon, I think everybody realised, you know, that this thing was moving on to a new phase and that more drastic measures had to be taken, you know, both socially, educationally, you know, just in a whole national sense, really, because it's obviously a very, very serious situation. We can see what's after happening in Italy, what's happening in Spain, what's happening in Germany, Britain, you know, what happened in China originally and many, many other countries. So, you know, we're no different to any other country. We're a very mobile, open economy. And, you know, in order for us to mitigate the spread of the disease, we need to act, you know, unilaterally, and we need to, you know, have huge unity in what we're trying to do here as a country. So, yeah, it was a no-brainer for all the sporting bodies to come behind the government and to, you know, adhere to their advice and to move on with whatever measures needed to be taken. And I think, you know, you could see that that was great solidarity in that across all sporting bodies across the country. And, you know, Limerick GAA is no different from any other sporting body. Like, we're quite happy to row in behind whatever measures need to be taken in order to make sure that we can get back to our games as soon as we possibly can.
And John, I suppose as a school principal, maybe in your mind this might have been more prevalent, we'll say, a couple of weeks back, a month or so back. But I think for a lot of people, and you touched on it there, the significance and the seriousness of the situation really hit home on Thursday when the Taoiseach gave his speech. It was, I suppose, one of those moments that, as I said, really hit home, and the reality of the issue sunk in that little bit more.
Yeah, well, we've seen the numbers ratchet up over the last week or 10 days, you know, and we've seen a fatality already in one hospital. So, you know, for one family, it's become extremely real. For one community, it's become extremely real. For one workplace, it's become extremely real. You know, so we don't want that to be a situation that we're facing on a daily basis with large numbers, you know. We have a great country here. We have a great educational system. We have a great sense of family and community. And we want to protect that family and community right now, because there's a real threat to it. And I think, you know, at the moment, maybe people might find it difficult, particularly young people, to maybe realise the seriousness of the situation, you know. But if they don't change their actions right now, you know, they're going to become very aware of the reality of it, because it's going to mean that the measures in place won't be as effective as they were designed to be. And people will unfortunately lose their lives as a result of that. So I think, you know, the rationale behind the shutdown of the education system, the imposition of the social distancing measures, you know, the encouragement of all employers to ask their employees to work from home, those measures are really serious measures, measures we've never seen before in this country, and hopefully we won't ever see again. But the bottom line is they wouldn't be put in place unless they were absolutely necessary. And we know that we have a healthcare system that's been under a lot of pressure, as it was prior to the virus becoming a reality. So we can only imagine the pressure that that system must be under right now, with, you know, so many cases becoming apparent and needing to be treated. And, you know, we have a cohort of people in the country who are particularly vulnerable. They're very important people. They're our parents, they're our grandparents, they're our brothers and sisters who have particularly underlying conditions. And we want them people to be with us when this is over. And that's the bottom line. We can't afford to allow this to get out of control. So, you know, people just have to adhere by the social distancing measures now. That's just the way it is. And you, as you can see from China, like they were in a really bad position where they were having 15,000 cases back in February. And here we are in the middle of March, and they're closing down their second, you know, temporary hospital that they built, you know. So the measures that they put in place had a huge impact and allowed the country to get back to a more normal setting very, very quickly. And if we adhere to the measures that are being imposed here and do it really well, you know, with regards to kids being off school, that's not a holiday. That's working from home. That's them being isolated at home. That's the measure. It's not a holiday. It's not, you know, parents need to take responsibility for where their kids are during the course of the day now, during the course of this event. And that might sound, you know, harsh for me to say that, but that's the reality of it. You know, the reason the children were kept off from school was so that they could go home and that they wouldn't be interacting with each other, wouldn't be interacting with their grandparents, wouldn't be interacting with other colleagues in school who might have underlying conditions that might, you know, put them in a compromised position, staff members who might have underlying conditions. And it's there to slow down the spread of the disease, to make sure that we don't end up with a big number of people, you know, hitting our hospitals in serious condition, where we don't have enough ICU beds and HDU beds for them to be treated in. And that's the situation they find themselves in Italy. You know, we can see all the videos coming out of Italy where, you know, they're absolutely in total lockdown. People aren't leaving their apartments, their houses, they're not in the streets, they're not going to restaurants, not going to bars, they're not going to work, they're not doing anything because they've seen the rough end of the stick here, where they've seen huge numbers of fatalities, huge numbers of cases, and they're having to ration healthcare, and that's not a place we want to be.
It definitely isn't, John, and I suppose that, like, coming into a period now where you have St. Patrick's Day as well, obviously the parades are all cancelled, but some people, they mightn't heed what's being told to them. They might feel that it's still okay to go ahead with their plans as usual in terms of going out, socialising or what have you. I think you touched on it there. It's so important, though, to drive home individual responsibility in this situation. I mean, some people might think that, look, I'm young or I don't have any underlying issues. Why should it bother me? But you mentioned it there. If it doesn't bother you, it should bother you because think of your parents being at risk, your grandparents, kids, siblings or friends who may not be fortunate enough to have perfect health. So I think it's really important to be responsible and think, I suppose, in terms of the collective rather than about yourself.
Yeah, like there's no doubt that people will contract the virus from others within their family group or within their near group. There's no doubt about that. But we obviously have to, you know, do our level best to prevent that from happening. And you know, is that we know when we're afterwards, we did our very best. We did our best to make sure that everybody was as safe as they could possibly be. We looked after everyone as best we could. But you certainly don't want to be going around living with the regret that, you know what, I was reckless in my behaviour for a week there and this thing started. And as a result, somebody picked it up. And as a result, they're no longer here. Nobody wants to have that regret on their plate. And, you know, people need to be really, really cautious now. I think, you know, that's the bottom line. We want this to go away as quickly as it came. And I think if we do what we're being asked to do, we'll have a great chance of coming out the other side of it and coming out with everybody with us that we had going into it.
And I suppose just in terms of obviously we're dealing with Limerick now, we're dealing with it on a local level at the moment. We're dealing with it obviously on a national level, but just from a local, from a Limerick point of view, I mean, we're a strong breed in that, I suppose. We get behind everyone. We row in behind all our sports teams. There's a great community spirit. And you'd like to see that driven home as well from a local point of view, because you have to look after your own doorstep, first of all.
Yeah, I think Limerick has a long history of, you know, resilience. You know, you can go back hundreds and hundreds of years and find examples where Limerick showed huge resistance in the face of adversity. And you know, even up into recent times, you know, through the 1970s and 80s there where, you know, huge recession, huge immigration, huge unemployment, you know, a city in stagnation. And look what the city has become now. Look what our county has become now. You know, the challenges that we face in sport where, you know, for decades we couldn't find that nugget to get it across the line. We've managed to do that. That took a huge effort. But, like, we can do that. You know, look at the unity that's there within the Limerick supporters that are there at the moment, you know, in hurling and football with our teams, you know, really working really hard and doing very, very well. And, you know, that unity, that sense of purpose, that togetherness is going to be vital now for the weeks ahead. And, you know, whilst, okay, everybody's going to miss the sport, no more so than myself, I can assure you. I'm a sport addict, but, you know, we have to just park up the sport now for the time being, and that's the bottom line. Fellas can go in and do a little bit of running themselves and do a little bit of hurling off the wall outside. You know, it was great to hear Dr. McConaughey last night on the Late Late Show saying that, you know, there's nothing wrong with a gang of fellas getting together on a green and going for a puck around, you know, once they keep their distance. And they're out in the fresh air, they're out in the open, that's fine. But, you know, there's no need for people to be, you know, hitting off and, you know, having parties and, you know, gathering in large numbers anywhere for whatever reason it might be. You know, the law of the land is there now. It's simple as it is and it's clear. We just need to adhere to it. And you know, when we do get back to sport, when we do get back to normality, I think there'll be a huge appetite for us all to get back to it. You know, I can imagine the numbers that are going to start attending the matches when we get back, you know, be it club, be it county, you know, all sporting events, I'm sure, will be hugely, hugely attended when we do get back to sport. But for the moment, I think we're going to find out the value of sport in society because we're going to miss it terribly. And we'll have an awful lot less to talk about, unfortunately, you know, because sport takes up so much of our social being, our social network, our social habits, our social conversation, and it's going to be an awful loss to us. There's no two ways about that. But for the moment, we have a bigger concern, we have a bigger project to work on, and when we do get back, we want every support that we have right now coming back to us when we do get back then.